General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
There are a great many stories told of the relationships between twin brothers and sisters. Many of them are make-believe, tales told for eerie effect, but some of them are true. For instance, I knew a man in the last war who said he felt very strongly that his sister, born within a few minutes of himself, was in great danger. A short while later, he said to me, "It's all over with her." By then, I'd forgotten his first remark. I asked him what he meant, and he replied, "Joan, she's dead." He'd already said to me that his family was in London, so how, I reasoned, could he know anything about his sister? We were in North Africa. There had been no post for at least a month. When the post did come, it carried a letter from his mother. The sister, Joan, had died in an air raid on the city. He was by then quite prepared for the news. His twin sister had died on the day he had feared for her life. He must have communicated his knowledge to me almost as the bombs fell on London. This is not just an isolated story. There are many similar. Twins often share a kind of extra sense. I've never thought to talk to a medical man about it, or I suppose a psychiatrist would be the chap would know. I was thinking of the man who lost his sister in the London raid a while ago, and it put me in mind of another story told to me a number of years before the war. This story concerned two brothers, twin brothers, who lived in the Eastern Transvaal, Marius and Johan Eben. These two brothers, never great friends during Johan's lifetime, were held by a terrifying bond which stretched beyond the grave. My story tonight is called Appassionata. There were no lights burning in the large voorkamer of the old homestead. The moonlight, though, streamed through the windows, falling on the enameled bust of Beethoven on the mantelpiece, and upon Marius Eben and the grand piano at which he sat. Marius was a fine pianist. The old folks, when they'd been alive, had talked of sending the boy to Europe. The predicant had said, "He has talent, that one, the thin one." The thin one. That is how they talked of him always. The thin one, or the more delicate one, or the weaker one. Marius had always, despite his talent, walked in his brother Johann's shadow. Johann had ruled him always. In a land where physical strength was respected above all else, Marius had suffered, had always been acutely aware of Johann's dominance. "Marius, do this. Marius, do that." When Johann had wanted something, he took it. Especially a woman.
Evalina.
Evalina. Marius's woman. The one he had wished to marry. But now Evalina would marry no one. She was dead. Like Johann. Johann who had ruled his twin in life. Johann, who was still the ruler, from beyond the grave.
No. Johann, please!
Johann, please. Miles, he shouldn't have done it, Miles. Kulan was always a good boy. He always worked hard. He was always honest.
They deserved it. I knew it again.
You flogged him too hard, Miles. A man should never draw blood in anger. That was bad. Very bad, Marius.
He was insolent.
Poor Marius. Never mind, Marius. Not much longer. Not much longer to hate being you.
Stop it!
Since the buffalo in Rhodesia had killed Johann a year before, he had often spoken to his brother. He had warned him of dangers, admonished him for his bad conduct. 2 days before, Marius had flogged Kula, the Zulu herd boy, for allowing the cattle to stray and then denying that it was his fault when Marius Ibn had yelled at him. And that night, the voices had started again. The voices. And every voice belonged to his brother Johann. And this night, the night he had played at the piano with such intensity, the voice of Johann had ceased to scold him for the beating he had given the Zulu. Instead,
I have to tell you something, Marius. I think you should. You are going to die tonight. Die tonight, Marius. Think of that. We'll be together again. You, me, Evelina.
Evelina.
Oh, she was so beautiful, wasn't she, Marius? So very beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes. Yes, she was beautiful. But she was worth nothing. And her beauty is bigger. But she was trash. Trash. That's what Evelina was. Trash.
Have you told him yet?
Told him?
Yes, you ought to tell him.
I can't.
But you must.
I'm afraid to.
Afraid? You can't be afraid of Marius. No one's afraid of Marius. It's simple. Look, just say, Marius, I no longer love you. I love Johann, and I'm going to marry him. And we're going away from the farm for a while, and then we're coming back again. And you must please yourself whether you stay here or not. There. That's all you must say to Marius.
I never really loved him. I thought I did, but that's all.
Of course you never loved him.
I'm afraid of him somehow. Sometimes. Especially when he's at the piano. Of course he plays well. The piano can't. But he frightens me. He sits and. His eyes. There's something bad in his eyes. Wild. Sometimes it's. As if there's someone under those keys. So hard he is.
Tell him tonight. And then we'll go and see the Prevetat. Oh, Evelina, I love you.
And me, I love you too.
Then don't let my brother stand in our way.
No. I love you. And no one's going to stand in our way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it had been. A week later, the two of them, hand in hand, had stood before the Predicant, and he had counseled them, and they were happy. Another week, and Johann left for Rhodesia. A few days, he had said, that's all. But the few days turned into forever. And a rogue bull buffalo robbed the girl of her husband and the pianist of her brother, and began, perhaps, a train of events that was to end in a double, a treble tragedy. If Alina had not believed in Johann's death at first, she would not accept it. She waited for Johann, swearing he would one evening canter into the big yard, dismount from his horse, and within seconds be in her arms. At last she was forced to accept a fact she was unable to accept. And so Evelina left the farm. A neighbor found her body 4 days later in the big dam, and the land was said to be cursed. Marius had accepted his brother's death and the death of his woman with no emotion. He had played the piano, neglected the farm work, and played the piano day after day. Emotion died in Marius. And then the voice had spoken to him.
Marius. You have work to do, Marius.
Let me be, Johan. Let me be.
Marius, for years we worked this land for our family. Don't let it spoil now. Tell Kula. The herd, Marius. The herd strays. The herd, Marius. We'll lose the herd to lion if you neglect your duty, little brother.
Little brother. Always little brother. Let me be, Johan.
Sometimes it was as if the man at the grand piano, playing to no one but himself in the shadows, wished to kill something within the piano. His fingers murdered the keys. And then there came the night when Johanna told him he would die. Johan, who had always known everything when he was alive, and now it seemed was in receipt of some greater knowledge, even though he was dead.
Tonight,
Marius, you are going to die tonight. Die. No. No one will die, Johan. No one. There have been too many deaths here. No more now. It's ended. The bad luck has ended. Ended with me. From now on, good luck. Nothing else. Just good luck. Tonight. Tonight I'll play all night long. I'll play everything I know.
Marius stopped and looked at the great black piano. 150 years old, they had said it was. Brought from Holland. He reached for the lid to free the keyboard and then froze. Someone was with him in that room. He felt them. Someone was standing behind him. He could hear them breathing. They were there. Celia's forehead was wet with sweat. It began to run rivers down his nose, into the lashes of his eyes, forging small glistening canyons through the desert of his cheeks. It was a long time before he was able to turn around.
Kula! What are you doing here? What do you want? Can't you knock?
I knocked you, Kosti. But you did not hear me.
Well,
so I answered.
Man. Come on, man. Talk. Speak up.
Lying, Kosti.
Blind?
He prowls near the kraal.
Have you seen him?
With these two eyes, I've seen him. The moon is bright and things, all things are clear to the eye. You must kill him, Nkosi.
Tonight, Marius, tonight you will die.
Lying? Lost a lot of cattle.
This is the one, eh?
This is the one, Nkosi.
What are you grinning at?
Grin, Nkosi.
Fetch my rifle.
This way, Kosi.
He came from north side, eh?
The lion will come from that side. Listen to the cattle, Kosi. They know the lion is near.
They crept along the circular wall of the kraal. Kula took hold of Marius's arm.
This is the best place to wait for him. We shall wait in this place.
Yes, we'll wait in this place.
They lay in the deeper shadow of the kraal wall and waited. The white man checked and rechecked the heavy rifle. The night was sharp, clear. A good night for hunting. A good night for killing lion. The white man was afraid. He knew there was little enough to be afraid of. At one thing he had matched his brother Johan. That was his expertise with a rifle. He had killed many lions. He would kill a lion now. There was a cartridge in the breech. Or was there? Marius checked again, just to be certain. He fancied he saw the black man smile slightly in the moonlight. He glanced sharply at him. But Kula's face was expressionless. And then he saw the little wounds on the black shining back. For a moment, Marius even believed he would faint. Momentarily, he felt a pang of pity, grief almost, at what he had inflicted. And then his mouth hardened again. He pressed his lips tightly together and stared out into the darkness. A lion could be silent as a cat. A cloud passed across the moon's face. 30 minutes elapsed.
Tonight, Maria. Die.
Because he...
Marius was afraid, deeply afraid. But he would not allow the black man to know. Kula would tell the tale amongst the other herd boys. They would laugh at him, Marius Ibn. Not a good thing to show fear in this country. Not in front of a herd boy.
Ask you.
Were you?
Yes. Let's sit.
No.
Something's the matter. Let's go back. I'll play for you. Don't you want me to play for you?
I love it when you play the piano. So does your aunt.
Well, then let's...
Marius. Forgive me.
Forgive?
Something... Oh, please don't make it hard for me.
What is it?
Marius, I'm sorry. I don't love you. Marius, please don't look like that, please.
Why?
Why?
Yes, why?
Well, because... Marius, I don't love you. I love someone else. I'm sorry. I tried to tell you this morning. Yesterday even...
Someone else?
Johan and me, we want to be married. Oh, please don't mind, Marius. Say it. Oh, please say it. I don't want to hurt you. Your hand doesn't want to hurt you. This is a thing that neither of us, we didn't know it would happen. It just happened, you see. I didn't want to say anything, but your hand, he said he would tell you, and I didn't want that. It wasn't right. You understand, Marius?
I understand.
Oh, thank you, Marius. Oh, Marius, you're a dear, kind man. We're both so fond of you. Fond of you. Johann's so proud of his brother. Your piano playing, your shooting. I love you, too, you see, but not in that way. Not in the way that I can only love Johann that way.
Only love Johann that way.
The lion comes in Corsi.
The black man knew that there were two lions. Knew it well, but he spoke of lion. Why was that? Only he knew. Marius didn't know. The white man took a tighter grip of his rifle. He checked it yet again. The cartridge was there, comfortingly, safely. He had killed many a lion.
I've killed many a lion, Kula.
Yes, in course.
Again the smile. Or was it a smile? Bright moon again now. The whiplash is bright. Bright as the moon. The flesh angry. The flesh like a... What? A warning?
This is it. Now we'll see how right Johannes was. You leave me be. For always now, Johann. I'll kill this lion and I'll kill you too. Your voice.
And the lion emerged from the bush.
Now we shall see.
Tonight, Marius,
Don't. You will die.
No. No. In course.
Not tonight. Not for many nights.
Rifle up. Sighted.
It's turned. We'll wait. He'll come again.
The wind was right. Right for the men. The lion couldn't know they were there. It was all right. He would come again very soon. Hidden by bushes and small trees now, padding, testing the night air, tail switching to and fro relentlessly. A big lion, a fine lion. Close, but they couldn't see him. The white man's hands not steady on the gun, not steady. For a brief moment he closed tight his eyes, tighter, and then opened them again. For a moment the night seemed to explode with a million stars, and then all was as it should be once more. Marius felt cold for the first time since leaving the house. He had sweated greatly. Now the night caressed his damp skin.
What if I... what if I miss? No, I'll never miss. Impossible that I should miss. The chest. Left side. If I miss the heart, I shatter the shoulder bone. Safer that way.
No lion for the moment. He was there, though, somewhere. Would come any second. The white man lowered the sights. Hands still shaking, sweating again, sweat into his eyes, almost angrily, he blinked it out, teeth clenched. Anger now.
What's the matter with you? Miss, no, you're a dead man.
And again the lion came, walking straight towards them this time. The moonlight made the beast appear more ferocious than any lion should appear. Marius braced his shaking body. Now, he thought. Now or never. Stocko rifle wet with sweat.
Why are you waiting so long, Inkosi?
The shoulder was shattered. The animal fell. It rose again. The great head turned and shook in anger and disbelief. It began to charge and then stopped and turned again, not knowing where the pain had flown from. It would never know from where the pain had come. Headshot. Lion killed. Marius even dropped the rifle. He shook with fear and relief at having vanquished Claire, and the paradox almost forced him to throw himself into the damp earth and bush at his feet, to lie in the coolness, to never speak, never listen to anything or anyone again. But he walked slowly to the big dead cat.
No, no, you aren't. You see, you are. You were wrong. See what I mean? I'm a dead shot, Johan. I always was. Tonight, when I get back, I'm going to drink and pray and drink and pray all the rest of the night. I'll kill you too, Johan. Kill you. Johan is wrong. Johan is wrong. You're a liar, Johan. A liar. Do you hear me?
The assegai sped towards the white man. Its flight was true, and the blade went straight through the body. Marius made absolutely no sound at all. For a moment, his eyes turned frantically upwards. The mouth fell open as if to protest, and then he fell, not knowing from where his death had come. Kula retrieved his assegai, and for a moment looked at the body of the former whip-wielder.
You will not be lonely, Inkosi. The other lion comes. I feel that he comes now. She's the mate of the one you have slain. Oh, Inkosi, you will not be lonely. She will keep you company.
And Kula turned and ran silently away.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.